Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Imagine being the first person to ever send a payment over the internet. New things can be scary, and crypto is no different. It's new, but like the internet, it's also revolutionary. Making your first crypto trade feels easy with 24/7 support when you need it. Go to Kraken.com and see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss. Cryptocurrency services are provided to U.S. and U.S. territory customers by Payward Ventures, Inc., PVI, DBA, Kraken. Visit PVI's disclosures at kraken.com/legal/disclosures.
I would like to remind the colleague opposite that in the Ag Committee last week, one of Canada's foremost experts on food policy, Sylvain Charlebois from Dalhousie University, said, and I quote, Madam Speaker, we don't see the evidence of that, talking about the impact of carbon pricing on food in Canada. He, and actually, they invited him to speak at the Ag Committee, Madam Speaker, so I think we have it here.
He's quoting you.
Yes, he is, but he wasn't reading his notes. He should have, because I never said that.
One Stephen Guilbeault, quoting, you heard him say it. I'm quoting directly. I can't get my voice up that high. Or sound quite that panicked. But he's quoting directly Sylvain Charlebois, the head of the Agri-Foods Lab at Dalhousie University, at a parliamentary committee hearing, but as Dr. Charlebois told us, he never said that. And I asked him whether Guilbeault had ever called to apologize, and he never made the phone call. I've often said to people, you know, when folks say quote unquote, once you've quoted somebody, you cannot unquote them. It's quote end quote, not quote unquote. But in Guilbeault's case, we'll make an exception. Oh, my Lord. Tom Korski is with us, editor-in-chief of Blacklock's reporter at Minding Ottawa online and on X/Twitter. So, Tom, it's one way to start this segment of ours, and I always truly appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. What do you make of? Thank you. What do you make of this this business of Guilbeault quoting and becoming so strident? He sounded like he was losing control.
Well, I think that they are losing control. That's actually
that's true enough. All of them.
Guilbeault, that would be a completely rational response, is to act like you were losing control. This is the moon and the stars, Roy. This is the whole program. They're running for re-election on their climate program. They're not going to run for re-election on legalized bookmaking or marijuana. This is it. This is the whole plan. This has been their focus since 2015. The problem is they can't show results. That's a long time to wait for results. And when you're down to nitpicking and being shrill in the House of Commons or ironic with reporters about whether your gasoline tax has made a difference in people's lives, I imply a positive difference. If you're down to arguing that in year nine, you are in so much trouble. You don't know which way is up, and I think that's where Steve Guilbeault is today.
Do you think he realizes where he stands with the majority of Canadians, or does it not matter to him?
I think, and I don't want to be unkind for the sake of it, gratuitously, I think Steve believes in his program because you have to believe in it. Otherwise, it would be almost Napoleonic in the scope of its maliciousness, that you would tell 40 million people who live in a subarctic country that they will pay more and more and more for fuel that's essential so that we can turn the corner on that crystallized moment where civilization hangs in the balance, climate change. Of course you have to believe that, if you're Steve Guilbeault, because otherwise, it's just berserk. No one would do this because it doesn't make any sense.
No.
And his problem is when he's called on it over and over. You realize that with Steve. Steve's just a believer. Well, that's great. But why did the other 40 million of us have to be dragged down his rabbit hole of discovery to determine why paying more for home heating on natural gas, but not on heating oil, is somehow going to save civilization, our country, our economy? The scope of their vision, Roy, is breathtaking. These guys set out with 32.6% of the vote. The Minister of Finance has said this. Biggest thing since the Industrial Revolution. Remember we studied that in high school, the Industrial Revolution? Mm-hmm. This is it. That they're going to meet in secret council in a cabinet room, and they're going to redesign an entire G7 economy. Unbelievable.
It's wonderful how they've done it, because the OECD, as we talked about yesterday on this program, projects that Canada's economy and the economic growth is going to be dead last among advanced nations between 2020 and 2030. And then the OECD said, well, while we're at it, let's study a little more. And then they came back and said, well, actually, we're going to modify that time frame. Canada's going to be dead last right through 2060. And you get a little smirk forming on your face, and I lost that smirk very quickly because I thought of the impact that particular reality has and will have on the kids of today.
This is one of the many prices you will pay. As you know, this program isn't even self-funded. If it was self-funded, it would be dramatic enough. But it isn't self-funded. This is all borrowed and spent. So the kids are going to pay the interest on the bonds for this experiment. And how crazy is this? Can we just use language like that?
Yes.
How berserk is this program? The Privy Council Office, you and I have discussed before, their internal polling, only polls we read, because it's the only polling the Cabinet commissions directly and the polling that it reads. They actually polled people on vegan diets. We discussed that. Whether you should stop eating meat for the sake of the climate.
I'm smirking here, in case you.
What are you doing? Right, they can't even run a passport office, but they were going to redesign our entire universe, and the rest of us were going to go along with it.
Mm-hmm. That's the plan. The only thing is that Canadians, in large numbers, and exceedingly large numbers, have given up on the plan, and Mr. Trudeau and his crew are going to find out.
One of my favorite stories got almost no attention. When MPs speak in the House of Commons, they almost never speak extemporaneously because you never know what they're going to say. It becomes embarrassing. This particularly applies to government caucus members. Well, there's one. His name is Ryan Turnbull, and he's from Whitby, Ontario. And he gave a speech on June 6, 2022. It got almost no attention. We gave it lots of attention. What did Mr. Turnbull say? He said, achieving net zero, I'm quoting, is not going to be easy, that's for sure. It will require all of us at every level in every industry on behalf of family and members of the general public. We're going to have to switch our lifestyles. That is going to be painful at times, quote, end of quote, said MP Turnbull. What are you doing, man? This is a guy from Whitby. And he's determined 40 million people are just going to have a lower standard of living, Roy, so that they can achieve their targets. Unbelievable.
It is. Well, it should be. So let's switch to what's been going on in the nation's capital over the last week. And it was particularly interesting to have the owners and various hangers-on from GC Strategies on the hot seat. And I loved your headline on Black Lox Reporter, Arrivecan made millionaires. And I said, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, sure.
Talk to us about that. $2,600 an hour.
They were asked to submit something resembling timesheets. The two partners, GC Strategies, a famous company, now the most famous small business in Canada for all the wrong reasons. Two-man company working out of a private home in Woodlawn, Ontario. And they, for the first time, disclosed, they only testified, by the way, because they had to. It was show up or be arrested, taken into custody by the sergeant at arms. So they showed up with their lawyers on a Zoom call and for the first time disclosed their net profit, their figure, everyone believes it's conservative figure, $2.5 million profit in 2 years working on this famous app. $2.5 million. What were their timesheets, they were asked. And one of the partners said, well, we were putting in, my goodness, 30 to 40 hours a month for 2 years. MP Garnachenis of Sherwood Park, Fort Saskatchewan, does the rough math. He said, wait a minute, young man, that comes to $2,600 an hour, or about $21,000 a day. To which one of the partners said, yeah, but sometimes I work evenings.
God bless Lord.
Yes.
Oh, yes. My. And the fact that they say this in a public forum in the government building, the Parliament of Canada, it just tells you how bewildered they are. They have no place to hide.
Oh, Roy.
They're out of the shadows now.
Absolutely. Let no one say easy money is not a malforming experience. Absolutely.
Didn't one of them say that he wanted to alert the committee that he may be struggling with emotional issues, and so he might not be able to answer questions?
I'm happy to address this. This is an interesting dodge, and this is not to make light of mental illness.
No, of course not. We're talking about one individual.
Does anyone remember Augusto Pinochet when he was freed from Britain?
I probably am one of the few who does.
Yes, and he was a very sick old man and really in rough shape until the minute his plane landed and he sprang from his wheelchair. You've never seen such a picture of vigor and health.
These
men did testify, and they are not alone. Others have evaded subpoenas using the same dodge that, as one of the partners said, I've been under a lot of stress lately. And how? Because you've lost your company on account of threats of indictments. But they said they've been under a lot of stress, had to consult a doctor. One of them said, in fact, he couldn't even bear to read the Auditor General's report that cited numerous irregularities involving his company. And when asked why, he said, well, I've been under a doctor's care. Did your doctor tell you not to read the Auditor General's report, said an MP, thus setting the tone of incredulity regarding their testimony.
Tom, we have a little audio here featuring a vice president of GC's strategies being questioned. And what were there, four people in total in that company? Was it four?
No, just the two of them.
Just the two of them. So tell us who Darren Anthony is.
He is the vice president, and he's one of the two employees, shareholders, partners. He's in charge of security checks at the company.
Okay. Here's a little bit of an exchange between Mr. Anthony and a member of parliament at the committee hearing.
How can you dispute the findings of the reports if you haven't read them?
I agree with the numbers that Christian sent for our, as he gave in testimony yesterday.
And so it went. The number, Christian being the co-owner of GC Strategies.
And the report being the Auditor General's report.
Of course, $60 million. And they dispute that.
This is his testimony by Zoom from his lawyer's office. Can you feel the confidence? he's just projecting integrity. Great job.
You just close the committee down and say, we don't need to hear anymore. We just found out the truth.
There's nothing to see.
There's nothing to see here. So let me just have a quick chat with you about two headlines on Blacklock's Reporter. Boast they pressured MPs. Tell us about that one.
Let me see. Which?
That's the Communist Party and other groups lobbying the Commons.
Boy, there's a vote. There's going to be a vote this week on a motion tomorrow, in fact.
Tomorrow it is, yeah.
Motion on that essentially suggests Jews have committed genocide in their war against the Hamas terrorists. And there are street protesters, community groups, and a sort of a disparate group in including the Young Communist League and the Friends of Cuba, who boasted that they bullied their local MP, Julie Dershowitz, Davenport, Ontario, that's in Toronto, to change her mind on a ceasefire in Israel, actually boasted of that. And indeed, we did see through a succession of newsletters MP Dershowitz sent out to her constituents that she did undergo a radical opinion, a change in terms of Israel versus Palestinian terrorists. And there's a lot of pressure on some of these MPs, not for Bloc or Conservative members, but on New Democrat, in particular, Liberal members, given all the street protests and, frankly, anti-Semitic outbursts that we've seen. A lot of pressure. It's a peculiar NDP motion. I don't know what the point is except to put Liberal members in a very tight corner.
Yeah, we spoke about that a bit yesterday and then again today. Decreasing trust in the RCMP.
Ever since the pandemic, and there are a variety of reasons for this. Part of it is the Nova Scotia shooting that identified numerous shortcomings. Part of it is pandemic enforcement. Sexual harassment complaints and class action lawsuits didn't help. Trust in the RCMP is down 20 points. Who cares about that? Well, the RCMP does. It's their research. They pay pollsters a lot of money, and they did establish that, you know, the number one cohort, the number one demographic that has the most faith in the RCMP today, you'll never guess who it is. It's old-timers, who, according to the RCMP's own pollsters, say they were brought up to respect police officers in uniform. That's not a good sign going forward, Roy.
No. We spoke with Duff Conacher from Democracy Watch about the fact that the RCMP never questioned Justin Trudeau in the SNC-Lavalin case, even though there was ample reason to do so.
And, they didn't even ask.
No, there's nothing.
They didn't even ask.
Nothing at all was done, even though the ethics commissioner, who was Mr. Trudeau's personal choice for the position, convicted Mr. Trudeau of an ethics violation and contravention of the Conflict of Interest Act. But the RCMP didn't ask any questions at all. In the minute we have left, what's your favorite story of the week, Tom?
You know, my favorite is, it is a little town in Manitoba, Steinbeck, Manitoba. I'm from Manitoba. Maybe I'm predisposed to liking this story. StatsCan wanted to find out, they went through tax returns, wanted to find out the most generous people in the whole country. Who gives more to charity than anyone else? And it's the tax filers of Steinbeck, Manitoba. And their donations are over $2,200 a year, median. That's what, six times the national average. Typical Canadian gives $380 to charity. So whatever they're doing in Steinbeck, they're doing it right.
Yeah, but $2,200 is not even an hour's salary for the folks at GC Strategies.
And if you make a donation to charity, you don't have to show up with your lawyer. Like, you just do it.
You're the best. Thank you, Tom. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.